You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This A's Cast download is brought to you by LinkSoul. Go to LinkSoul.com and by Nest Bedding. Love where you sleep. Go to NestBedding.com.
It's time to go inside the front office of the Athletics with the general manager of the A's, David Forst. Here now is the David Forst Show with Chris Townsend.
Well, earlier today on the field,
oh no,
we got to see a little game of catch, and I looked down and I said, is that Sean Dunston, the former great Harvard shortstop down there, winging it around? Some poor teenage kid couldn't catch it because it was just, I mean, straight fuel coming at
just,
him.
Just as long as I don't see video pop up, we can talk about
it. You got a
this.
Little bit of a short arm, by the way.
I got to keep the shoulder in shape to throw batting practice year-round. I can't really stretch it out.
So I didn't think about that, but, yeah, when you have a teenage son, but David Forrest, the general manager of your Oakland Athletics, is with us here. Yeah, you got to throw a lot.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time this winter in the cage here. I've been throwing a lot. My arm feels as good as it has in years, but I got to keep it that way.
So. Yeah, the catcher's glove going.
I can't catch him with a regular glove. We didn't get on the mound today, but when he's on the mound, I cannot use a regular glove anymore. That's what happens. He's almost 14.
Yeah, you're not 20 years old at Harvard anymore,
that,
are you?
That too. So now he was on spring break all week. He just flew back in this morning, and he's got 3 games this weekend, weather permitting. So
how old is he?
He'll be 14 in 2 weeks. So he's got games. I wanted to make sure he at least got some throwing in. He was gone all week. He went to Disneyland with friends for spring break. Must be nice.
Just living the dream.
Exactly.
Huh? I was a friend of ours. Their son's at San Diego State. Now, oh, they're going to Vegas. I went, oh, my God. Just living the dream.
Right.
I'm excited.
I'm glad.
I mean.
We're here to give you something to be excited about.
I was down in spring training going, hey, man, the vibe's different. Players are different. This year's going to be different. And the homestand was horrific.
It was a bummer. Yeah. I mean, we played better the last couple games of the homestand. So, but, yeah, we kicked it around. It wasn't a lot of fun. And team left whatever day that was, Thursday for Detroit, and we sort of said, all right, let's take a fresh start on the road. Yeah. Obviously ran into a really good pitcher the first night on the road in Skubal, who may end up being the best pitcher in the league this year. But no, 4-2 road trip is great. We played well. We pitched well. We caught the ball. So, yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad you're excited.
I just talked with Lucas Ersig about it, and because he's interesting. He was a former position player, so he gets both sides of it. It's like, you know, no matter what, offense hasn't been great, but run prevention is number one thing. If you pitch, play defense, you're in every game and you have a chance.
Yeah, it's what we knew about starting pitching. It's why, again, you know, to beat a dead horse, it's why we were so far behind the eight ball last year. It's why we spent so much of the offseason on starting pitching. And you look at the one game we lost in Texas. Ross gave up 3 early, gave up another 2 with 2 outs later on, but he gave us 6 innings.
6,
And he set us up for success yesterday because the bullpen was fresh. We had Lucas. We had Mason rested for yesterday. When we have a chance to win a game, right now you got to have those guys ready to go.
Yeah, since April 3rd, your starters' ERA is under 3.
Yeah.
And it's amazing the difference year to year and not burning the bullpen. Obviously, your bullpen has been one of the best in baseball, especially since April 3rd. It's like a 1.29 ERA. Is this what you thought you were going to get?
Look, I mean, this game can humble you quickly. Like, I could be super impressed with what I've seen. We could go out, lose 2 or 3 to this team and sort of start over. But, yeah, I mean, we added Adams and McFarland at the last minute. We knew both guys had a track record, so that's helped stabilize the bullpen while Alexander's still out. Obviously, we lost Gott for the year. But the starting pitching, what JP gave us yesterday, what you've seen from Wood a couple times now, and Paulie's done it 2 times. I'm hoping for a 3rd tonight. So it's all been really good. And you mentioned the bats. Like, hey, we're not swinging the bats right now, but we know Zach's going to be better. We know Brownie's got a track record. Rook's going to come back hopefully in the minimum 10 days. And some of these younger guys who have hit their bumps, like, they're going to get going. So, I mean, Daryl and Mac got their first hit, and that's what happens when you get to the big leagues. It's hard out there. So now that they got it under their belt, these guys are going to get going.
Now, we talked to you at spring training about Mason Miller and the experiment of making him a closer. I mean, it's just electric. It's absolutely electric. But the problem is anybody throws hard now, you just hold your breath. Unfortunately, that's a part of our game now. Talk about the game plan of how to utilize him and keep him healthy.
Yeah, I wish there were like a scientific formula that led us to exactly what we're doing right now. You know, obviously Kotz is spotting him only when we have a chance to win. He used him in Detroit for two innings because he knew he'd have 2 days off going into that off day on Monday. So, you know, we're going to just do the best we can to take care of him. I don't think they're going to use him back-to-back days just yet. We may get there later in the season when we know how he bounces back, but just having him available anytime we can win a game. I mean, the feeling when Shea's ball went into the bullpen the other night in the ninth inning, and the feeling of like, oh, we've got a really good guy coming in to get those three outs. Like, that's not something we've had around here in a long time. So we want to try and maintain that as long as we can.
How do you decide with Scott Emerson and Mark Kotze on a daily basis bullpen? Who's good? Who do you use? Maybe only an emergency. No way you can't use this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I joked about a formula, but there is a little science involved. We have a workload sheet. We keep track of pitches. We keep track of how many times guys get up in the bullpen. And you have, you know, basically put a red, yellow, or green light on them as far as where they are that day. So, you know, it's sort of a guide. It's not, you know, it's not gospel. We don't go by it. But Kotz has to talk to everybody and see how they feel. And, you know, everybody's got a different rule. Obviously, the way we treat Mason is not the same way we treat Danny or Adams or whoever else. But you do have to keep track of how many bullets they've used.
You know, I love seeing, as Paul Blackburn will be going tonight, his fingernails okay, his fingers okay, and to see J.P. Sears, to see some of these guys, it's been a lot of fun to watch pitchers who don't throw 100 miles an hour succeed. How do you – we're talking about chasing velocity and spin.
Yeah.
It's great to see guys that are old-school pitchers.
It is. It's like a different set of stressors, though. It's not so much, you know, they're throwing too hard for their bodies, but it's like, okay, are they going to put the ball exactly where they want? Because that's what Paulie has to do. And man, his last two starts in the spring and his first two starts of the season, he's been at like a different level from what we've seen out of him. He's been so precise with everything, all four pitches. Using, you know, there were times when he felt like he had to save two or three things for a second or third time through. He's super confident right now, using all his weapons, and it's been fun to watch.
You're not a doctor, right?
Not that I know of.
Okay. What did you graduate with at Harvard?
A degree. Yeah, I got a degree.
You got a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Your parents must be proud.
It got me here, so
okay.
We're good.
So it's got to be scary the way guys are going down because you care about these young men. This is a major surgery. You're out now. We don't want to rush you back. We want it to be more 14, maybe 15 months.
Yeah.
You want these guys to be there for you. Like, you've looked at a lot of medical stuff. We have medical people on staff. Like, how worried are you about what is going on with all of these UCL injuries?
I think you have to be worried. If you care about the game and, like you said, care about the players who play the game, you have to be concerned. There's been a lot of discourse this week, a lot of opinions from a lot of different parties. I think it's fair to say nobody has the answer. There's absolutely a lot of contributing factors. You know, Dr. Meister spoke out in an article during spring training that we all read in The Athletic about the effect that the velocity and spin and the combination of those two things has had on arms. And, he's the closest thing we have to a scientist in this forum. He's the guy who's looking into 20 elbows sometimes per day. So I tend to think that he knows what he's talking about, and I don't know how you correct that. But obviously when you've got guys out there throwing 92 and 93 mile an hour sliders with spin rates up in the upper 2000s, that's been proven to be dangerous. So we need to figure out how to take care of those guys.
Yeah, and there's so many theories. We got the plyo balls. We got the heavy balls, the light balls.
Sure.
Liam Hendricks was on our program. He's just gone through it. He thinks it's the light balls that are there. I mean, everybody has these theories. Your job is to build a baseball team that has pitchers that get people out. What if some of the evidence that you know is putting, or the throwing program maybe putting pitchers at more of a risk? Like, how do you as the GM decipher what should my guys do, not do? You want them to get outs, but you want them to get outs healthy.
Right. Well, we rely a lot on the medical staff. And Brian Shulman, our director of medical science and rehab, basically puts a risk grade on every single guy who comes through here, whether we draft them, whether we sign them as a minor league free agent, trade for them. You know, we look through their medical file, we assess the risk, and part of our job, not only finding guys who can get outs, but finding guys who can stay healthy while they do it, and you do your best to build enough depth. But we have to look at that as part of the equation, and I'm sure I've said it on this show before, guys who've been hurt or the guys who get hurt. Like, prior injury history is unfortunately the best indicator of what's going to happen down the road. So you try and find the guys who've had a good track record and stay healthy, or the guys who've had surgery and hopefully can bounce back. But you it's not easy. There's not one answer.
Every guy's different.
Right. And like you said, every pitcher who's been hurt has a different anecdote, maybe a different reason as to what got them hurt. Obviously, these guys are going a lot of different places in the offseason to get better, which is great. They want to be the best, but then they come back and those places that they went aren't actually as responsible for them as we are the other 9 months of the year.
Yeah, I don't want to put I don't like bring it up with like you guys, because, you know, if you, you know, like Bieber was the, he was at Driveline in Scottsdale and his first start's great. Next, you know, it's tough for you guys. I don't want to get into it, but yeah, that's a whole part of the business. When you have your athletes, you can't control it. They go somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a tough situation. On a positive note, having Sean Doolittle on the program, he's an all-time favorite.
Yeah? Okay.
All right. And he's now a pitching strategist for the Nats.
Yep.
And, you know, that job and the job, whether you're the hitting strategist or dealing, you know, talk about someone who can relate to everybody, because you can have all the data in the world, but if I can't teach it to you, and every human learns differently,
yeah,
like, how important is that to find the right coaches that are able to take whatever you have and teach it to the different guys in the ways that they're going to understand it and get it?
For sure. It's critical to be able to relay that information, and a lot of teams have gone with former pitchers like Sean. We saw Dan Heron in that role with the Diamondbacks. I know a couple of other former pitchers are bouncing around. It doesn't always have to be a former big leaguer, but it does have to be someone with the credibility on both sides. And you know, someone here, Dan Hubbs, our new bullpen coach, was in a role last year in the minor leagues as a pitching analyst, did a great job with our minor league guys. We decided to promote him to this staff. Dan's got a lot of experience in college, pitching coach, head coach. Like, they come from, you know, come from different backgrounds, but you do have to have somebody who can play both sides of that. And Dan's done a great job for us. Some of our analysts in the office as well, Pike Goldschmidt and Miles Mensah, are two guys for us who are in the clubhouse working with players who have enough experience where they can speak the language.
I can't remember the name, but you hired a guy. Was he from Vanderbilt recently? Oh, no, Wake Forest?
Yeah, Mike McFerrin, who's our, who, I don't know what his title is. He's working in the minor leagues, but he was involved in the Wake pitching lab the last few years, was a minor league pitcher himself for a while. But, yeah, that's another guy who's now in the minor leagues, kind of bouncing around, and has that experience on both sides.
You know, one player we talked a lot about in the postgame show was Ruiz going down. And a lot of people wanted to know why. So we'd have you on. Why did he go down, and what does he need to do to get back?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I talked to the media about this when we sent him down, and nobody really cared for my answer. But I'll give it again. Look, we had to make a player move, and there's only 13 spots for position players. It's never easy. It was not an easy decision to send SD down. But the reality is, what we saw last year and in spring training was that he needs to work on A, getting the ball, hitting the ball in the line, hitting the ball in the air, because, you know, he hits on the ground, it's an out, even as fast as he is. So working on his launch angle and working on hitting the ball hard. Like, you know, hitting the ball soft enough so that it's an infield hit is not a skill. He can do it because he has the legs, but it's not going to play in the long term. He's got to hit the ball hard, and he can. He just has to get to it. And I know, you know, a lot of people say, well, he was hitting 429 when we sent him down. It's 3-for-7, and two of those hits were infield hits. So he needs to get back to where he's driving the ball consistently, he's making more contact, and he's working the count to get walks. Like, a guy with his speed has to get on base more than one way. So, look, he's playing great down there. Hit a couple homers. Hasn't taken a ton of walks, but he's working on it. And his exit velos have been better the last couple days. We're watching every single at-bat he takes down there, because I'd love to have him back. I didn't want to send him down. That wasn't like some master plan. But you got to make decisions, so I'd love to have him back.
Now, I've never had to do what you've done, where you sit there and all the media's there. I've been on the side where we ask you questions. I've never had Do you ever sense like when you're, everybody's looking at you, go, yeah, they're not digging this answer?
Yeah, absolutely. That's fine. That's part of the gig. Yeah. So I don't expect everybody
they're to not liking this.
Believe every word I say.
They're not buying it.
We sent a popular player down. Like, it's not the first time. It won't be the last. I get that not everybody, you know, wants to hear what we have to say.
A little bit is mechanics to let people know. In golf, we would call it a chicken wing.
Yeah.
Right? And if you don't play golf or know golf, I understand. But in golf, it's called a chicken wing. He's got a little chicken wing to him, which doesn't allow him to get barrel up the ball like you. Like, so to let people know, it's just not go down, change your numbers. Like, your mechanics, better mechanics will help you get those numbers.
And it's something that our hitting coaches have worked with them on since the All-Star break last year, trying to make adjustments. It just hasn't taken yet. But it's not like he just goes down there, like you said, and you say, hey, poof. Make your numbers better. Like, there's a plan, there are mechanics, there are things he's working on, and it shows up in some of the at-bats we watch.
Yeah, because he's obviously, we know what he can do from a stolen base standpoint. He can be electric.
Yeah, once he gets on base, he's unlike any player we have in the organization.
Yeah, Brent Rooker, abdominal strain, and then all of a sudden Noda gets hit with the
weird
slider machine. I mean, just it's life, right?
Trying to avoid those things. Rook, we think, will be back on Friday when his 10 days are up. This is just a case of, you know, check swing, something popped up on the CT scan. We just need to let it calm down. But he feels good. He's going to start swinging either today or tomorrow, and hopefully he's back next Friday.
Shea Langeliers, you knew he was a special talent.
Oh, man, that was a night. I cannot remember a night we've had like that where one guy literally carried us through the game. It was pretty amazing. And for him to do it at home in front of two of his college teammates on the other side, it was pretty great.
Well, and we've talked about his throwing ability, how it's even improved this year. It's going to have to be good. These Nats are like a track meet out there.
For sure.
Just talk about overall Shea Langelier's game, how you've seen him improve all around.
Yeah, he has. I mean, his throwing has been lights out. It's lights out. And he made an adjustment with his swing last year. We saw it in August and September. We saw the homers. We saw him in spring training. And, you know, the first seven games, nothing went right. And his hits didn't fall. But, you know, these things take time. We talked about patience, talked about a guy like that. He wasn't going to be Sean Murphy the minute he hit the big leagues here. It just wasn't going to happen. But he's really developed into a leader behind the plate with his throwing, and he's going to be an offensive force for us.
For certain young players, let's end on this. For certain young players, and I think about Daryl Hernandez right now, and it can be for a lot of different players, for a lot of different teams, you want to be on the big club, but you want them to play.
Yeah.
Is there like a tough sometimes, like, well, is it better to have him here? Because obviously the job is to win here.
Yeah.
But is his future maybe better if someone goes down and plays every day?
For sure. We're having that discussion daily right now. And you know, we've got a few guys here in Hernandez and McCann, and now Schumann's here, who aren't going to get regular at bats. And every day I check in with Kotz, and we see what the matchups look like, and we're going to have to decide at some point whether they're better off here or not.
Well, Schumann, they say, can do everything. I was wondering if he was going to be pouring beers, selling hot dogs, playing center,
That's
playing third.
Part of the super utility role.
Is it true he can really, really play every one of these positions well?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Kraus will tell you there are times where he's thought he's the best shortstop in the organization. So, yeah, I mean, we got to get him in there. We got to get his feet wet and find the right spots for him. But, yeah, as far as super utilities go, like, he can do it, and he can be really good in every spot.
There's not a lot of guys who can do that.
No, you get guys who fill in who can just go out there maybe and stand there. But Shoes played center field, played shortstop, and done it well. So I'm excited to find the right role for him.
Well, it was like the first ball, you know, the ball always finds you. It was Nevin's first time out and left. And you went, that's an infielder playing outfield, right? I mean, that's what he looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, so to find somebody that can really look like an outfielder and then be a major league middle infielder?
Yeah. I hope we get a chance to see it soon.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Do you ice? What do you do?
I'm good.
We're
right
worried
now.
About you.
Just
we saw you.
Catch. I threw a little BP. Played catch. I feel good. I stretched out, so I should be good.
So in a desperate pinch, can we throw you out at short? Still got the footwork?
My range is bad. I mean,
I just want everything in front of you.
It's literally the reason I quit the game at 23 was because my range was going the wrong way. That was 25 years ago. So I can't imagine my range got better since then.
Have you taken the golf clubs out of their hibernation since spring training.
No.
Because you're kind of down on your game.
Yeah, I'm not excited to get back out there. So I'll let you know, but right now, no hurry.
We have multiple courses for you to play.
I know. I checked one of them out in January. It was beautiful.
You got multiple plays when you're ready. Masters pick?
I stayed out of the pool this year because it's just like lighting money on fire. I really would have liked to see Rory do better.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen for him, and I'm worried Scheffler's going to pull out. So I honestly don't. In between those two guys, I'm not sure who to pick.
And then if we have rain tomorrow, then a doubleheader on Sunday. No doubleheader on Masters Sunday. That should be illegal.
I didn't think about that. So talk to Clay. That's his department.
Always appreciate the time.
All right, Tony.
This has been a presentation of the Oakland Athletics. It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.